Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Second down, they blitz again. Daniels, though, has some time. Lets it rip, floating it deep down the field, going for Brown. He's got it! A perfect throw to De'Ami Brown!
Kevin Burkhardt on the call on Fox. Commanders, 45 points in Detroit. They are on to the NFC Championship game. What's good? And welcome back in. We're Grant and Danny. You are locked into the Fan, 6 days away from Washington making the trip to Philly. You and I made a trip to Philly earlier this year with our buddies, the law firm Condori and Murad, to watch the Commanders and the Eagles. We joked as we were checking out of our hotel. We joked in the morning on Tuesday as we left. Or I guess it was a Friday. That was
Friday morning. Yeah.
Thursday Night Football. We said, we'll be back here for the NFC Championship game.
And we laughed about it later.
No longer a joke, Danny.
Yeah, we will. As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. As an exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morod can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with our estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Friday's field trip's going to be in Bethesda, Maryland. We are coming back across the river to Maryland. And we are going to broadcast from Caddy's.
The house the Riggleman built. Can't wait.
In Bethesda.
Legendary. From Bethesda!
Very good spot downtown. So Caddy's on Cordell.
On Cordell, yep.
Going to be a really, really good scene, I think. That'll be 2 days ahead of an NFC Championship game that Washington was never supposed to be in. And now they got house money. And all of a sudden, you know, people are feeling like, as an underdog, Washington's going to be frisky. They just played the team that they're playing to get to the Super Bowl and beat them a few weeks ago. But speaking of Super Bowls in this town, nobody we'd rather talk to about this run and about important football in January than Joe Theismann, who joins us on the guest hotline. Joe, thank you so much for the time, buddy. It is good to have you on the show. How about these Commanders?
How about them, huh? Wow, What a run. What a magical season, guys. And, you know, when they say 33 years since the last time we've been in a championship game, that doesn't sound as long as three decades. three decades has a ring to it like it, you know, it has been forever. But this football team is just so special in so many different ways. And the fans have just, you know, they've come out in droves to embrace what this football team has been able to do. And, you know, we used to talk about optimism and hopefully it will work well and the season would start well. And this has been an unbelievable run by an entire football team. We've had six kickers. I mean, Jaden has been, I don't know why he isn't in consideration or wasn't in consideration for an MVP of the league as well as rookie of the year, runaway rookie of the year. The defense is playing well. The offensive line has stepped up. I mean, it's been one total team effort that's been so much fun to watch.
So, Joe, through your eyes, someone who did it pretty damn well in his own right during your playing career at that position, what makes Daniels so special, so different?
I think it's his temperament, his composure. I think that's where it starts. The game was never too big. In the beginning of the year, I don't know whether we had this conversation, when somebody said, well, how's he going to handle all the pressure? I said, he's the Heisman Trophy winner. He's been under the microscope and people looking at him all of last year in college. Just stepping into this role, if you have the talent like he has, stepping into this role is not difficult. It's being able to understand and compute basically in your mind what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do with the offense. And he deserves a lot of credit for the way that he calls games as well. I remember Tom Moore, who coached Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, told me once, when Peyton was a rookie, he said, I want to do two things with him. I don't want to get him beat up physically, and I don't want to get him beat up mentally. And I think what Cliff has done with Jaden is wonderful because even though he runs a lot, people might say, well, you know, he's going to get beat up running. No, he's smart. He's a smart runner. He gets himself out of harm's way, and he very, very seldom ever takes that hit that sort of sets you down on the bench for a little while. But he throws the ball down the field. We haven't had somebody throw the ball down the field this well in decades, to be honest with you. He's accurate. He's cool under pressure. And it's a very interesting study for me, because when you have quarterbacks that have athleticism like he does, the tendency is to, I call it seeing ghosts. It's feeling pressure, but it's really not there, and then trying to escape somewhere. Jaden has tremendous focus down the field where he can stay with the targets. Even though somebody, you got free runners coming at him, he still makes the throw, makes the delivery. And then he has that sense of when to get out and make plays and do things that he needs to do. And he's an uncanny runner. I mean, really, guys, he makes people miss in so many different ways. You could put a list of 10 things that you really want to see in a quarterback. Forget about the rookie stuff. I'm talking about a flat-out quarterback. He checks every box, mentally and physically. He has great football intellect. You know, and what I mean by that is he has the ability to understand down in distance, where am I on the field? I can't take a sack. Can't throw an interception on first down. That's football intellect to me.
Joe Theismann on G&D. Joe, it's one thing to have finally solved quarterback. It's the whole thing, frankly, in football. But even larger than that, before they found Jaden Daniels and decided he was their guy, this new ownership group took over. It has taken them, this is their first legitimate season running the team. This is their second year, but you know, they took over so late. This was their first offseason. It's basically taken them 1 year in control to have the correct structure, which was not the case here since Charlie Casserly, who was summarily dismissed as an executive of the year back in 2000. They haven't tried it since. GM hires coach, coach picks quarterback. And you look at the results. Now, this is a little bit more, I would say, impressive than anyone could have imagined. But how about the Harris ownership group and Adam Peters setting this whole thing up?
I think it starts right there. It always starts at the top. And I think in Adam's case, he's done a fantastic job putting this team together with Dan. Now, Josh, when he took over the football team and his ownership group, he did a wonderful thing. I think he stepped back like any great executive. But when you take over a company, you want to take a look at what you have first. You can't make rash decisions, even if it's your vision right away. You want to step back and say, let's evaluate what we have. Let's evaluate who is on the team. And then we'll make adjustments accordingly. It's a great blend, this football team, of veterans and young guys. And really, if you go all the way back to the beginning of the season, when this football team had about 60% of the starting units that had never worn commander uniforms, your coaching staff was all new. Your offense was all new. Most of your defense was all new. We still went, you know, through the trials and tribulations of the kicking game and managed to be able to come out on top with that now, it seems. So as you look at this football team, there's so much newness. And I was saying it reminds me of 1981 when Joe Gibbs came here. We, we were a bunch of guys that got put together, had to learn a new system, had a new coaching staff to deal with. A lot of newness. We had veterans, and then we had a lot of young guys come in. And we started that season 0-5, and we finished 8-3. We finished very strong. This team has finished very strong with a lot of newness around it. And to me, it's just been fun to watch them play. They're killing me as far as cardiac arrest goes. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't have a monitor on me. You know, my wife and I, Robin and I, were watching it the other day, and, you know, the last game, and it's like, you know, you wait for that moment when you're going to jump out of your chair and go, yes! And we've had a lot of them lately.
Joe, I want you referenced this, but I want you to go back. Can you remember, I know you guys, when you're together, you had that strong finish to the 81 season, and then 82, you guys are playing, you're playing good football. When did it go from we can do something here to we're going to do something? Like, when did you turn it from optimism, hopefulness, and the like to straight up belief that it was going to happen, which of course it eventually did?
I think the latter part of 81 is when we really started. I think not only us, but our coaching staff sort of had an idea of what we were, what we needed to be able to do. And Joe continued to challenge us. He always challenged us offensively. There's always something new coming in. We weren't going to sit down and just go with what we had, or we weren't satisfied with what we were doing. It was always an effort to strive to be better and better and better. And we challenged each other in practice. I think that's really where you get better. is you just don't go through the motions in practice. You try and score on the defense. They try and stop you. And it gets you ready for when you step into the arena. And that has to happen. And so I think the latter part of 81 is what really set the foundation for what we became for over a decade.
Joe, I said to someone last night that this locker room and this group of guys, they call it their brotherhood, is the tightest I've seen since 07 after the tragedy to Sean Taylor in the Gibbs locker room. And I would say 05 at the end of the year was similar to that. And even though those teams didn't go on deep runs, I'd remembered my whole life, my mom, my dad, you know, people saying, oh, Joe Gibbs would do this, or it was so amazing. And I kind of understood it. Like, even though they weren't Super Bowl contenders, I said, man, this is unique. I haven't felt this. I get it. These guys all love each other. They love the staff. We've got that in this town right now. Number one, how is that built? And specific to Quinn, why has he made that work so quickly? How has he done it?
Well, I think first of all, I think these guys really respect one another. I mean, Dan's a player's coach. Now, people misinterpret what that means. They think that that's a coach that lets the players do what they want. No. What it is it's a coach that sets a standard, creates an environment and a culture, and then the players execute that environment and that culture. And there's expectations. There were expectations for this football team, certainly to say we're going to be an NFC championship game. If anybody ever told you that, they were sort of dreaming a little bit in the beginning of the year. But as this football team came together, you almost look at it, it's a team of destiny. You don't get years like this. This is a very unique experience for every member of that football team, every member of the coaching staff, and for every one of us that are fans in this city and all over the country that are listening. This is that opportunity that comes along almost, you know, once in a lifetime. How many teams have never gone back to Super Bowls? How many guys have never had a chance after they've been there once, has never seen it again? So what they're experiencing, what we're experiencing right now, is this almost once in a lifetime opportunity. I really feel like, and I felt this way when I was broadcasting, when I traveled around the country and I could walk in a locker room, I could sense whether that team had a real chance to be able to win by the brotherhood that's created, by the banter that you hear, by the interaction that you see. That, you know, they're a group of guys that really care about one another, and they're going to push each other in practice to get better. That's the way Daryl Green was with me. Daryl was one of the toughest guys I worked against, and he was on my own team, and he made it tough for me in practice. I had to get the ball out on time. If I didn't, he was going to, you know, he didn't really catch much because he, you know, he'd probably had about 20 more interceptions, but God bless him. He'd be right there. I kid him all the time about that. But I mean, he made me better. I think that's what this team has done. But you look at the leadership, you know, Terry on the offensive side, you know, Bobby on the defensive side, you know, Jerron and Jonathan and the guys that have been there and experienced this. That's the other thing. Guys that have gone through the tough times get a chance to talk to the guys that are new there. Plus other guys like Bobby, you come from a team that's experienced success, and you share that with the young guys. And then the young guys are held accountable. Coach Gibbs, in the 6 years I played for him, I saw him walk through our locker room 5 times. The locker room belonged to the players. It's our locker room. It was ours to be able to take care and manage. It was our house. And Coach respected it enough so that he let us do our job together as a team. And then he led us in the direction we needed to go. And I think Dan's done exactly the same thing. He has a great understanding. Plus, I mean, it's historic what we're seeing in professional football today, not only with Dan Campbell, but Dan Quinn and around the league. Everybody going for it on fourth down. We never really talked much about fourth down when I was playing. We had third and short and maybe a fourth one or two. But now, you know, your third and shorts and your fourth and fours are exactly the same thing. You have to find that play that you can execute. And Jaden, the thing that he's, you know, we've twice in the last 2 games, critical moments, he's got the ball in his hand and he picks up, he needs 4, he gets 5. He needs 3, he needs 3, he gets 4. They trust him completely. And what I was really pleased with against Detroit was our running game came about. And he wasn't just the runner. You know, B-Rob was really running hard and running well. And, of course, you know, Austin's, you know, speaks for himself as far as his abilities go, making plays. I mean, everybody's contributing to this football team. Whether you're in for one play or you're playing for 30. Doesn't matter. Everybody's contributing.
By the way, 27 of 33 on fourth down this year. 81%. Yeah. Absolutely astounding.
Doesn't include that 12 men on the field against Detroit, by
That's
the way.
That's true.
No, one more conversion, yeah.
5 of 7 touchdowns in the playoffs so far for this offense after they converted a fourth down. Just to kind of give you an idea of how massive those decisions by Quinn and the execution by the players have been. Joe Theismann, the legendary former MVP and Super Bowl champ, is with us on G&D. Joe, I want to double-click on something you said. You talked about this, it just doesn't happen, this kind of run, which is so true and poetic. But I want you to, if you would, speak to this. We've had a couple of people already call in. I've seen people on social media saying, whatever happens, you know, they'll be back here next year. It's just the beginning. Daniels is getting better. They're going to spend $100 million. And my point is, whoa. Nothing's given after this. Seize the day here. Go get this thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And let's use the San Francisco 49ers as an example. They've been to what? How many Super Bowls in the last couple of years? Very talented football team. But now all of a sudden you lose Christian McCaffrey. You lose an offensive lineman. You know, Trent Williams goes down for a while. The biggest thing in our game is how healthy are you when you get to crunch time? And we've been very blessed and lucky at this point. We've had a lot of guys start. We've had guys step up. But they've been able to practice so that they can put in different types of offense and defense. And they've been able to play and execute. I think, call it luck, call it whatever you want. That's one of the things that I think has contributed to our success is we've had the guys on the field to be able to execute and do the things that they need to do. And so to me, you know, that's as big a part of anything is if we stay healthy, if we can stay healthy through another year and, you know, key guys can continue to play, then, yeah, we have a chance to be extremely competitive. But we've seen it too often in this division and in other divisions. You can go from last to first in a heartbeat. All somebody has to do is you get key injuries, and all of a sudden it changes your dynamic for your football team and what you're able to accomplish.
Joe, this is a treat. It's fun to talk about a team going to the NFC Championship game with you. This is always a blast, man. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Can I say one thing?
Of
Go
course.
Irish. Go Irish.
Oh, that's right.
Tonight is – I got that. We're in Atlanta.
You're double dipping.
My wife and I are getting ready to go to the game here this evening. Notre Dame, Ohio State. Notre Dame wins. I will have had myself one heck of a week, I got to tell you.
Are you what are your plans? You got to be on the sideline pregame or something? You're doing the are you
nope,
just a fan
nope.
Or are you a dignitary?
I am a fan. I am a fan and a very proud fan of a lot of people that are here to cheer on the Irish.
Well, that's a College Football Hall of Famer, Danny.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Put some respect on that man's name.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to you. I shouldn't say we. I don't know what Danny's doing. I am rooting for you tonight, Joe. I will say that.
Thank you.
I don't need Ohio State beating Notre Dame.
Have I got a commitment from you?
Oh, 100%.
From you, Danny?
I've had enough of Ohio State, man. You can just Notre Dame can just pretend they're Michigan, and then they'll have a great shot.
I also think Marcus Freeman is one of the coolest dudes on the planet.
Easy to root for sure.
Like, if I could play golf with three people right now, form a foursome, he might make the cut. I love that guy.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I'll tell him.
Please do. Joe Theismann.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Joe.
G&D. Here on The Fan, our guy and a legend.
A pretty good January for Joe Theismann, by the way.
Right.
How about that?
How about his couple of days?
Alma mater going for a natty? Yeah.
Not bad. Tress Way joins us next, the longest tenured member of that locker room. I texted Tress after the game. I said, holy S. He responded. He texted me back, holy S. And then I texted him back, dude, you're going to not get to punt in an NFC championship game. Which I thought was funny.
That's a good thing.
And he just laughed. But he will get to hold in an NFC championship game.
He's a holder.
Commanders holder, Tress Way next.
Here's Tress Way, who hasn't punted in two games, basically. Gets off a boomer inside the 5. Oh, look at this bounce. Back inside the 10 where it's down there. And the Lions will take over.
A punting highlight. Dad.
Go deep in the archives for that one.
Look at you. By the way, he had to search for 3 hours. Did he go back two seasons.
From 2018?
That's the last time the holder punted.
That was tough to find, I got to be honest.
Yeah.
That was a lot of work I had to put in for you, Tress.
Needle in a haystack over there. First punt highlight in show history. How do you like that, NFC Championship game week?
When you're that on top of the world, you play punting highlights. See what I'm saying? Like, that's how good it is. We're out of regular highlights. We'll play punting one.
The Commanders, the only team in the league that just uses their holder to punt because they don't want to carry a punter. Because it would be a waste of a roster spot. So they just have their holder every now and then punt. And look what the guy did. The athlete stepped up in a pinch, looked like a punter. Looked like a real punter. Except he used his left foot. But he looked like a punter. By the way, the NFC Championship game is going to air right here on 106.7 The Fan. How awesome is that?
That is cool, my friend.
Ian Eagle on the call.
Sorry about
Kurt
it.
Kurt Warner alongside Sorry about in the booth. It. Little Westwood One broadcast. Ross Tucker on the sideline. Let's welcome onto the show.
Without Sports on the Sports Station.
On the Rude Guest. Hotline. That's what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Tress
Tressler.
Way, friends.
That's Tress Way's music.
The People's Holder. The People's Holder. The
Thank
longest
it's,
tenured member
honor.
Of the Commanders organization. Hello, Tressler.
What's up, guys? I appreciate that, man. What an intro. You know, I've never actually listened to a punt highlight. You know, I don't mean to brag, but I've watched a couple of my own, but I've never listened to my own. So that was tasty. I appreciate that.
That was a bomb, by the way.
Yeah, go ahead and kick a bomb, buddy.
I guess when you only punt once every few
Leg
weeks.
Leg is fresh.
You get rested.
Yeah, you know, Cliff came up to me after the game. We're all celebrating in the locker room, and he apologized that I did have to go out and punt. That's a true story. He came up and apologized to me. I told him it's okay. Like, I'm still ready in case it happens. But that apology goes a long way, so no big deal.
You know what I was thinking about a couple nights ago? Might have been right after Washington beat Detroit in the divisional round, which was pretty cool.
It was neat, yeah.
I was thinking about how funny it would be, Tress, right now, knowing what we know, seeing what we've seen, if Jaden Daniels was wearing, like, number 11 or something. And you were standing in there in the locker room, and you're like in the back of your mind, like, oh my God, I should have given this guy 5. Like, like, this is the guy, this guy, I didn't give him 5. And like, we're all like, oh my God, Tress.
Did you remember that?
You did, like, he wanted 5 and you didn't give it to him. The whole, that guy. How funny would that be?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously this dude's pretty special, and I don't know if you could technically do this within the organization, but there's a chance, you know, after as little as we have punted and how great he is, I just might have been removed from number 5, and it would have been like a public apology, and
right.
So yeah, I'm glad it all went down the way it did.
What would it take, legit question here, for you to walk up to him and go, hey, can I get that number back?
Ooh, I like that.
Like, dude, what would it take?
Oh, all right, over the years, I mean, do you not think I would do that for just like a crisp high five or a nice $20 bill with your autograph on it? I'll do it tomorrow.
If like a good bit, I think you would do it.
Make sure
someone
films it.
Hey, man, here's the deal. After we finish the Super Bowl run, I mean, this is just awesome. Let's go ahead and get our rings. But then, you know, start next year. I hate to be that guy, but I'm going to need to get 5 back.
I might need to get that back.
Seriously, you have to film this because it'd be hysterical and do it candid camera style and just see. Because I've never even seen him phased in any way. Like, I think he's the kind of guy that if he's like walking into the grocery store and you almost run over him, instead of like what I would do or a normal person would be like, what the hell, and like throw their hands up, he would like kind of cock his head to the side and be like, really, man, I'm walking here. And then he would like
he'd do like a 6-spin move or maybe, you know, jump over him at the last second. He would do, you know, I'm not saying that you guys are completely different athletes, GP, but I think he'd do
comparable.
Something a little bit more. Yeah,
he would do something
a little more special.
But think about this. I wouldn't have gotten all bent up and discombobulated at the end of that 46-yard run against the Panthers because I wouldn't have made it to 46 yards.
You see, it's a chicken or the egg thing.
No, I got you. I think that logic's airtight, but still, I think there's a little bit of difference in athleticism. That's all. That's just, you know, we can argue that. But yeah, he's a special human, special football player.
Tress, you're going to get to not punt in the NFC Championship game. The NFC
Dude,
Championship game.
I was I was wanting to ask you, you know, like, I understand you got a whole groove, and I mean, the season is rolling, but I think one of the things that was cracking me up today when you were texting me is that any response I had, you would just respond with one word, and the one word was sexy. And I was like, are you bringing sexy back? Like, I haven't.
Did I say
think
sexy?
I think you did.
Everything. I was just like, yeah, man, sounds good. Sexy. Hey, we're going to hop on maybe 3:30. Will that work? Yeah, that's cool.
Sexy.
I was like, all right, well, sweet. I'm feeling it. Let's do it.
I did say that.
Yeah.
That is
but
weird.
Anyways, I say that to say you got to chuckle out of me, whatever you said. Are you ready to, parentheses, not punt in the NFC Championship game? And so that was, I got a good kick out of that.
Well, thank you. So I think this is what happened, Danny. Mm-hmm. So I have this thing sometimes where, like, when Danny or someone will say something that's great or awesome, I'll say, like, oh, sexual. Or so, just like, just whatever.
But not in a harassing kind of
no,
way. For
not
everybody
in a way where anyone
HR,
should report it
yeah.
to HR right. or I should yeah. be canceled. So we're I thought it would be super weird if you were like, gonna be good, dude. And then I said sexual. So I changed it to sexy. But you're not in on the lingo, the whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
I understand why it would be tough. But the point of the
no,
dude's
okay.
story is, Tress, NFC Championship
NFC
game.
Championship game, dude.
I mean, dude. Like, but okay, so we go play Tampa. We win the Tampa game. And I just had some family there, had some close buddies there, and I'm just standing at the middle of the field. I'm just like, we're not done playing ball. Like, all right, we're going to come back and go play another week. And then we go into Detroit, and then that fourth quarter, and freaking Mikey, and the picks, and all this stuff. And then in the fourth quarter, we're sitting there up two scores, you know, 6-5 minutes left in the game. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm going, holy crap, here we go. We're going to play some more ball. Like, this is just, dude, this is the bomb. Like, this is just, yep, we got another week. Let's just go play ball.
So, Tress, like, you've got normal human, you've got more time to think than everybody else, pretty much, right? Like, everybody else is like, it's going so fast, and it's like, when you're called upon, you go to your gig. So you've got time to let your mind wander. Has it wandered at all to some of the bad times? You know what I mean? Where you're going, like, look at this. Look at where we are. Look at where we're headed. Look at what's happening. And then do you ever think back to when it wasn't? Do you know what I mean? Like, you'd be forgiven to think that way, right?
That is a fair question. And to be honest with you, like, from the outside looking in, and especially just being in the area and, you know, with, like, getting to know the fan base more and more over the years, I completely understand. And even the times that we have not had great seasons, and you know, it's kind of been a mess here and there, I've had awesome teammates, I've had great memories, I've loved being a part of this franchise and getting to know the fans, and like I've just enjoyed every aspect, and like the buddies that I've made for a lifetime, the memories we had on and off the field. The coolest thing to me, Danny, has been, and for me, it really hit home at halftime of the Atlanta game.
Mm-hmm.
And we were losing at halftime of the Atlanta game, and our fans were like cheering us on. I mean, like that, like the fan base was like clapping, yelling, like in an uplifting way. And I'm getting chills thinking about it right now. And now, obviously, seeing what has transpired since that Atlanta game. But it is so powerful, and it may be like a little bit of a bold statement, but it's just so cool to feel like we have won back over the city, and it's been such a special time. Like Mr. Harris, when he bought the team, had a bunch of the veterans up for lunch, and he said, I'm going to get the people in place that we need. You know, I've done this before. I'm passionate about this this franchise. I'm a part of this fan base. I have been for years. He said, the catalyst is going to be you guys going and winning. And he goes, and we can win this city back. And I am so happy and thankful to have witnessed that. And it is just, dude, it's so cool. Holy smokes.
I love the win the city back mm-hmm. is a really cool thing to hear. Because that's not how I've phrased it or thought of it, but it's definitely what's happening. I want to hear more about that lunch. I mean, you don't have to go into the nitty gritty, but like that's kind of cool. So he had players sit there. Was it just him or other members of his ownership group? What was that about?
Yeah, it was him and Mr. Rails. They had us in, and it was all just all personal things. Like they just he wanted to get to know us, wanted to hear a little bit about our families, and then he wanted to talk about hey, these are my next, you know, 24, 36 months. This is what I'm kind of eyeballing. This is the things that I'm going to handle off of the field, and I'm going to get the people in place so that you guys can just be all gas and lean into the field. And he's just so humble, so approachable, you know, reminded us at the end of the lunch that his door is always open. If we have a, you know, if we have a question of anything with the franchise, with ownership, if, you know, he wants, like, if, you know, he's like, a lot of the younger guys coming out of college, or even the older guys, if you guys have a question on, you know, finance, or people that you, you know, like if you're doing business stuff, I mean, he was just, man, he was just so approachable. And it was, that's really special. Like, that's just cool. And too, like, whenever he had mentioned, like, winning that city back, that is not to discredit so many fans that have just been loyal for so long. But I think, you know, I mean, just
sure.
The sheer excitement, like the, like bringing the fire back to the city of like everybody being really excited. So.
So Tress, you obviously, again, you've been here since 2014, and there have been some good people in the building. There've been some good people, whether it was in charge, position coaches, head coaches, and everybody in between. This is different. It's obvious. Not just the fact that you guys are going to the conference title game. That's duh. Anybody can point that out. But the rhetoric, the stuff coming out from you guys since kind of this group was put together all the way back in the early winter of last year, springtime, et cetera, it felt different then, and we know it's different now because the proof is in the pudding. What's so different about this regime, this staff, this group of you guys together versus previous years where, again, not saying anyone's bad, anyone was wrong, but this is just different. Why?
Yeah, I think everything is so incredibly intentional. You know, there was actually one day I was driving in the facility or driving home from the facility, and I was listening to you guys. And it was either you or GP had said, you know, since AP came in, since Adam Peters came in, and the free agents and the draft picks and everything like that, everything at minimum has been a base hit. And it's been like there's been some home runs out there. You've got your doubles, your triples, but everything has been a hit. And I think the intentionality and how purposeful, like, I'm obviously one of the old dudes in the locker room, and I have a locker at the end of the locker room, and you look out and you have the franchise quarterback who is unfreaking believable to watch play the game of football. And he around him, DQ and AP have just built around these guys where he doesn't have to go do anything other than be him. He's still like watching him and Bobby Wagner argue over who the best NBA players are, and like everybody, you know, teasing him because he's young and he's got this opinions on music. And like, then you got Zach Ertz and Eckler and myself and Terry. Like, it is just this inclusive, fun, like, environment. And I cannot speak enough about how special DQ is at bringing grown men together and giving them a clear picture of what it's going to be like. Dude, we went into Detroit, okay, and nobody, like, and I hope this gives you guys peace. Nobody cares what the freaking spread is. Like we're pro athletes, they're pro athletes. Go ahead, do your whole thing for the bet and sports books. At the end of the day, you got to line up and play ball. And I'll take our guys. I'm sure those guys will take their guys. Whatever. We're just going to go play ball. His ability to, hey, it's not a, hey, we're going to go out there and we're going to whoop these guys. Boom, boom, boom. We're going to go out and we're going to fight. We're going to take some punches. We're going to throw some punches. And I don't care if it's four quarters, overtime, into the parking lot. We're going to fight and we're going to win the game. And there's just this attitude of, let's just go. Let's play. Let's just play it out. Keep playing, and it's a very special group, guys.
Perhaps the 11th year of the charm for Tress Way here, as he gets an opportunity to hold. He will not be punting, but he will hold.
You got to hold for those extra points
in the NFC Championship game. Tress, we are behind you, sir. You go out there. You get down on one knee. You put that finger on the ground. You turn back to Zane Gonzalez, and you say, if you doink it, that doink better go in.
In or doink?
Yeah. Doinks are fine as long as they go in and hit that net. By the way.
No doubt.
When that ball was sailing toward that upright, how was old Tress Way feeling?
Oh, I had full body lean going. Yeah. I was just.
You crawled to Fisk.
Oh, man. Somebody might think I have some scoliosis or something, but I was like, I was hunched all the way over leaning. I'm like, oh my God, go, go, go. And just gave it a little kiss. So that's, you know, they make their uprights a little wider down in Florida. The pole's a little bit bigger. So it just kissed it and knocked in. That's all.
Best doink ever.
Best doink ever.
It's my favorite doink. Tress, go get him.
So happy for you, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Good talking with you.
We appreciate you. By the way, I'm going to get you, we got to get you one of our no punts offense shirts so you can rock it.
Okay.
In the locker room.
I'm in for that. I am. I'm definitely down for that.
It's too cold in Philly, but maybe if you guys beat Philly, my people will talk to your people. Maybe we could get the video on like the pregame show like 3 hours early of Tress out on the field in the no punts offense shirt that we've got.
I would love the crap out of that. Sign me up, man.
All right, let's do this.
My man. Love it, dude.
Go get him, Tress. Thank you, buddy.
All right, see you guys.
That's our pal, Tress Way. Nobody better than him. Love that guy. And I'm so happy for him.
We've talked about this a million times. Every once in a while in sports, like the local guys that are part of the fabric, I go out of my own selfishness as a fan, and I actually get happy for people. Happy for that dude.
Yeah, so happy. Ben Johnson just picked a home. It's not where you think he's headed. He's going to be a head coach. Where and what does it mean for Cliff Kingsbury possibly staying? That's next on Grant and Danny. Revered offensive coordinator has taken a head coaching job with the Chicago Bears. He has agreed to become the next head coach in Chicago of the Bears to work with Caleb Williams. So Ben Johnson, after two off seasons where he didn't leave Detroit, and now his third off season as the hottest name in the head coaching cycle, has finally left Detroit for a division rival, the Chicago Bears. Well, he will be head coach this season. So this is fascinating for two reasons. One, obviously he chose not to come to Washington. Well, that's not the end all be all, but he did make the choice last year that he wasn't going to continue to negotiate an interview with the Commanders. He did so while they were flying out to Detroit to interview him for a second time. That's been well documented. Then word got out via someone in his camp that he felt like the basketball guys that ran the team knew a little too much for him and didn't love the process. Led to some of the storylines that went into the bad blood between Johnson and the Commanders, at least publicly. I didn't hear any ownership members tell me that that was the case, but that's certainly the perception on the outside going into Saturday night. So that's interesting from that perspective, is now we see, okay, well, you didn't think Washington was a good enough job. What do you end up with? The Bears and Caleb Williams, who went one, instead of Washington and Jaden Daniels, who had a much better rookie year, still alive as a rookie, and went two. But the other reason this is huge, Danny, that was a potential landing spot for Cliff Kingsbury.
It's one of the couple places where you would go, this might be tempting for Kingsbury. Now, who knows what privately he thinks of Caleb Williams? I have no idea. You'd assume they got along really well after working together, and he sees the talent, was, you know, helpful in Williams, you know, kind of holding on to that number one overall spot in terms of his pedigree in the draft. But it's a place with a ton of cap space, a pretty decent roster. And, you know, I understand the big picture. They haven't won in a long time, and their ownership isn't particularly great, et cetera. But, again, they are in a – that's a pretty good starter kit there. Quarterback on a rookie deal that showed some things, has some talent, good roster. I think fifth or sixth most cap space in the sport. That's a good landing spot for somebody.
It's a really good job. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much Keenan Allen has left in the tank. He was better in the second half of the year than the first half. But you have DJ Moore, Rome Odunze. If Allen's still got some –
yeah, as a third possession
juice,
receiver, fine.
Exactly. And then – in the backfield, where obviously he wants to run the ball, see Detroit, you've got DeAndre Swift, Rashawn Johnson, Travis Homer, pretty loaded up backfield situation. So, yeah, there's weapons there for him. By the way, he already had his staff at least partially figured out. His defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen's coming with him, the former New Orleans Saints head coach. So he's a first-time head coach. You got a longtime head coach as your DC, who's also a really good coordinator. That's a strong secondary member of his staff. So that's a good start for Ben Johnson. But back to Cliff Kingsbury, that was one of the only jobs, Danny, that I thought he would leave for potentially. I thought if New England came open and was still available when he was done coaching, they obviously wanted Vrabel, and I understand that. You bring home your beloved son.
Mm-hmm.
But because of Drake May and because of Caleb Williams, those are two really interesting jobs. The Raiders one never made sense to me. That was the big rumor the last 48 hours, was that he was definitely going to Vegas. They have no quarterback. They're in a division with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. There's three 10-win teams that made the playoffs in the West that you're playing twice a year. I thought that was a terrible job, but he sides with Chicago. And I would think Cliff Kingsbury, who's been linked to the Raiders, would probably have some of the same issues with that gig. So is there anything that's available that Kingsbury could potentially consider worth leaving Washington for? Remember, he's still getting paid by
the
Cardinals for three more years after this one. Three more full seasons after this, he's getting paid a head coaching salary from the Cardinals, and you've got a chance if you come back. Let's say you don't win a Super Bowl, to either win one, or this is a hilarious thing to say, maybe go back-to-back next year, right? I mean, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, it's going to be hard to leave Jaden Daniels.
You never know somebody's mind. You never know where you and I could look objectively from the outside and go, Dallas is not a good job. It's not. Now, you're going to get paid a ton. You're going to be as high profile as they come. And Jerry Jones is there just Jerry Jonesing all over the place. You punt on one fourth down, and he's on the radio the next day going, I disagree with that decision. There's going to be a conversation there. Like, you're getting undermined all the time. But he's from Texas. Maybe he loves that. You know, I have no idea. Right, so on paper, there's nowhere where I would go, ooh, that's tempting, mostly because you already said it. He's still getting paid like he's a head coach from Arizona for a couple more years. Does he love Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville? I don't know the answer to that, right? So to me, there's nothing on paper. It was, to me, Chicago or New England, who has, again, same similar situation, young quarterback, all the cap space and kind of a blank slate that you could sort of write in your own image. That might be tempting. Now that those are off the board, I certainly wouldn't be tempted by those other gigs.
Beltway Blitz time at the top of the hour. We've got some Caps tickets we're giving away at 6 o'clock tonight on the show. Jay Gruden stops by at 5. We're going to be hitting the phones pretty hard next hour as well. All coming up on Grant and Danny.